You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show.
It's AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, AfterBuzzers. Bing is for doing. And today, we are doing Chapter 5, a Netflix exclusive series, House of Cards. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me is, to the left of me.
Hi, guys. Emma Kay.
Hi, Sophia Stanley.
And John Comerford.
Yes, so we're going to get right into this because we took some time off, didn't we?
That's
like
right.
A week.
Yes, we did.
So we're tired of our followers and our listeners cussing us out on Twitter. Because John doesn't have to worry about, because you can't find him there. You can only
find
him here. You got to call in and cuss John
that's
out if you guys get upset. Let's start off with how the episode begins. Chapter 5 is very interesting. Obviously, Frank and Zoe are
post-coital.
Yeah, they're like,
you get skeeves too? I was like,
Sophia's like writhing over there.
Okay, Sophia didn't go for it either, huh?
She didn't like that.
I was like, what do you know?
But she, you know, she's it's really crazy because she's already in.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have to sleep with him to get information.
Nope. No.
So what is going on,
ladies? What's going on?
Explain this to me,
please.
I'm like, she's already getting what she needs from this guy. So why is she sleeping with him now?
Just getting her freak out?
I'm totally at a loss. Mm-hmm. I was from previous episodes when everyone kept saying that they were flirting. I was the holdout,
that's
and
right,
I obviously was wrong. I was like, they're not flirting.
Right.
They're just intellectually playing with one another. The only thing I can really say is it's twofold. I think it's old habits die hard. So for Zoe, she's used to using her sexuality to get her information,
right?
So in the same way that in previous chapters, he basically was like, you've obviously had an older man, you know, before, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, the fact that her parents have never come to visit her, mm-hmm. I think that's strange. So I'm going to go out there and be like,
that
daddy
is
issues.
That
yeah,
is strange.
There's also this other thing. Remember she said that thing about, look, if I was interested in you, you know it. Remember she said that to that guy? So clearly she's been telling Frank all along, yeah, I'm interested in you, so...
Right.
That's just her way of being, I guess.
And I think that Frank is, on some levels, a little bit more pure-blooded than I gave him credit. And mm-hmm. so from the very first time when Zoe came to his house and Claire's reaction
uh-huh.
that I dismissed, even Claire knew... He really is visual and into young women, and
that
to the
was,
point though where
that was the oddest part.
Yeah, exactly.
He comes home, and you know, she just goes, the reporter, and she knows right off the bat and the whole thing, and she's, you know, pretty much okay about the
whole
thing.
Is this the only time? I'm not sure.
Not sure. And it's like,
what does she offer us?
Yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
What is
I know.
That was like,
clearly they have a different kind of marriage than most would be.
Right. Yeah, if we weigh in on this, Emma, like, because that's like strange for me. It's like, okay, she was like, Claire just walks across with her coffee, and it's like they're having like a little a baby board meeting.
That's right. But that's, that's the deal they made.
It was unexpected to see them and the scene opening with Zoe and Frank, but I think it's used as a power play, which is why it's not, you know, so much of an issue with them. But I do think that Claire was bothered.
The way she reached out to Adam, the whole thing.
And, you know, it's a mouthpiece and it's an access for us, but she was definitely bothered. Even though she plays it off very well by walking away, she was definitely bothered.
She's also the one of the blooms fading.
And I think
she's having the hot flashes.
I think it makes her go back and like wonder, well, I could have done the same thing with Adam. You know, that's why I think she does call
she keeps
him.
But it begs the question, did they ever have a relationship that had any kind of, you know, I don't know.
Her and Adam? You mean Claire?
No, I'm sorry. Claire and Frank. Did they ever have kind of an affectionate sexual marriage, or was it always just a marriage of political convenience to, you know, gain whatever goals they were trying to achieve? I mean, that's what I don't know yet.
Well,
I still can't figure that out. Does anybody have a thought about that?
I'm right with John.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't seen them together
yeah.
yet.
Right.
So it must be, and very possibly it could be a marriage of
Because every time you see them where it could lead to something in the bedroom, you know, where they're standing by, they're always standing by the window having a cigarette, you know, talking about their day, and then one of them goes to bed, or there's nothing.
Plus, they don't have kids, so
yeah,
that could be another issue.
I think they're just probably
spiritually... But that would be more reason to be in the bedroom. You don't have to worry about it.
I think they're probably just more spiritually and intellectually stimulated by one another, and that's what
we're going to I'm going to differ on the spiritually part, but I'm going to go with you everywhere else.
I mean, that doesn't mean their spirits are...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You're okay.
Yeah, they're in the same frame of mind about it, yeah.
I mean...
But clearly, I agree that she's bothered by it because, you know, it does get to her. I think that's why she's reaching out to Adam, because she's not finding what she wants in that relationship with Frank. That's why she calls him. That's why it appears that they've had some sort of an affair, although they haven't really said it specifically. And they keep hinting that they might be doing more, but they don't.
And he's used to that. He's already familiar with
that. Yeah, he knows. Yeah, you can see by the way he saw him at the gala.
Even last episode, it was like, I had dinner with Adam. He's staying at the such and such hotel. And he's like, well, where are you staying? Pretty much like, and you? And she's like, I'm staying here. Mm-hmm. Like, he's already used to Claire sleeping with Adam. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like...
They just have some weird... It's a relationship I'm not aware of. I mean, but they... Obviously, he loves her. I mean, he says he loves her like... What is it? That blood... Like a shark loves blood. So he loves her in a way that is different than a conventional marriage, of course.
They pimp each other out, I think. Kind of, sort of.
I'm going to take it in a different direction for a split second.
Go ahead.
There is a theory in terms of relationships, right? Mm-hmm. That people, by their very nature, are not perfect. Right? And people are going to make mistakes. But there is a big difference between lying about a mistake and being truthful. And arguably, a certain aspect of intimacy is always being honest with your partner.
Correct.
So to take this to make like a generalization, we're talking about a political show.
Right.
And we're talking about a political couple. We have seen countless individuals on the news cheating on their wives, mm-hmm. having other families, so forth and so on. So just for the sake of this conversation, let's make that the norm, right? Those women didn't know, right? So those women were part of a partnership, but they didn't know what they were agreeing to.
Right.
The difference between Frank and Claire is they're extremely honest with each other, and isn't theoretically honesty one of the fundamental underpinnings of intimacy? So, I know I'm taking it there. So it's like, even though we may not see them physically intimate with one another, mm-hmm. I'm actually going to say on some levels, their spiritual connection is very much there because they show each other themselves in their purest and rawest form.
Okay. Do you think Claire is taking a hit by the sacrifice she's encountering? Not taking the 1.5 mil from Remy.
She's pissed about it too.
And she's saying it all throughout the episode.
Go ahead, Emma.
I was going to say, by him confirming that, you know, he doesn't know if this is going to be a one-time thing, I think makes her start looking at things very differently. Mm-hmm. She starts being selfish in, you know, what is in for her. And I think we see that throughout the whole episode where she's structuring and aligning things for her own best interest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to piggyback on what Emma just said, because theoretically, Frank has not been fulfilling his end of the bargain, right? This is okay as long as she gets what she wants, and she hasn't been getting what she wants. Mm-hmm. So how is it okay then for her to be okay with him screwing around with this reporter? If, in fact, then her charity and her position and her reputation also suffers, then that would theoretically make her like every other woman in that type of situation.
Which is why she has to balance the house with her relationship with Adam. I think that's why one of the reasons why she's been reaching out to him. But he has nothing to offer her, really, except for pictures.
Which raises money.
He doesn't have anything to offer that she wants in terms of her long-term goals. He can't really. He can do minimal stuff.
And that's exactly why at the actual gala, when he asked her specifically, how much money did you raise? And she goes, $750,000. And she goes, why don't you write a check for $250,000 so that we like make an even mill? Right. And he looks at her like, please. But that's obviously what's important to her.
Right.
So that, again, was kind of a line in the sand. Like, that's exactly why I'm with Frank, because Frank can bring me a certain lifestyle and a certain position that I'm used to, which is very different than simply having a passionate relationship and you raise me $80,000, $750,000. And I think that line was...
Passion versus... So now we're having a... age-old question of position and status versus love and passion.
Well, I know for me, she's conflicted, because it would be one thing if it was just about the money, but it's obviously not, because she's still missing something. She still wants something more, which she's not getting, and she tries to get it elsewhere, even though she
but
stops
But more
herself.
Is still not enough for her.
Well, Claire, but that's always the case with that kind of psychology.
If she was passionate about Adam, she's trying to bounce and go be with him and go travel the world and take pictures.
Yeah, but it's always... she's of that mentality that you're always, there's never enough. You always want more. Once you reach that plateau, you want the next one.
Right.
So there's nothing... Because you're feeding something that's external rather than internal.
Right.
And so. I think she's upset because Zoe was already a puppet for Frank throughout the whole... up to this episode. So in her mind, she's probably thinking, why do you need to sleep with her? Because you already have her under your control.
Right. Now, go ahead.
No, it's just that adds on to her frustration as well, because you don't need to sleep with her for her to do what you want her to do.
Well,
to her, it might seem like, okay, this is just pleasure for you.
It's also they're also playing a different level anyway, because sleeping with her is like, big deal. It doesn't mean anything. It still bothers her, but it really on the grand scheme of what they're trying to go for.
I actually disagree with John and completely agree with Emma, because previous to this, or else she wouldn't care. Trust me, she was in that kitchen for an hour waiting. I'm just letting y'all know.
Waiting for him to get home.
No, waiting. Like, it seems like she just happened to be there. No, from the crack of dawn, she has been in that position waiting for him to come through the door.
Right.
That's why he came through the door. He didn't just walk through the door like, he does this all the time. He was, like, a little cautious, and then he heard her, and there was a moment when
he stopped.
Damn it.
Yeah, he stopped. But
let's
that's
face
true.
It,
that's
the
true.
Way she responded to him, they've done this before. It's not like it hasn't happened.
Or else she wouldn't have said, what's in it for us? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was purely sexual, then her first question would have been, are you going to do this again? The fact that she goes, what's in it for us? And she specifically
said, his first question was,
one time.
Is this the only time? He said, I'm not sure. And then she walked across the counter and then she said, well, what does she offer us?
Oh, maybe my memory has
she,
it in
She asked him first, is this the only time?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like,
I'm not sure. And I swear that she goes, the reporter. And he goes, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The reporter,
okay.
Is this the only time? I'm not sure. What's in it for us?
Yeah.
This is my thing.
And then he started explaining, like, yeah.
But this is my thing is. And I'm going to probably eat crow on this one.
Uh-huh.
Frank is a dinosaur. For him to think that sex is going to control Zoe, he has absolutely no clue. Number one.
I
think he does. And you want to know why? That's why he takes her phone and drops it in the water. That's a power move. Mm-hmm. That was not only a power move, that was a childish move in the same point that you're getting too much attention. Because she wakes up and the first thing she's doing is talking business. She's like, should I go to MSNBC? Should I go here? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, basically I'm trending on Twitter.
Right.
I have my own hashtag, go Zoe.
Right.
He drops her phone in the water. She basically was like, what are you doing? All my contacts are in there. And he goes, well, then you need to get new contacts. Power move, right? So basically meaning, like, don't worry. With me, kid, you're going to go places, right? Then as he's leaving, he claps and goes, go, Zoe. That's condescending, right?
Was.
In a way that he's going to control her, as well as the fact that...
Really quick, I think that's something he would have done regardless if he was sleeping with her or not. To me, it didn't... To me,
And I disagree with you on that one.
I think that's something he would have pulled.
Because
it was classic Frank. He would have done something like that without sleeping with her.
But that's why he even says the whole thing about the burner phone. He's like, I'm going to get you a burner phone for play and another phone for work.
Right.
Now they've crossed a different line, because before, when it wasn't sexual, all it really was he... That was his source. So he had no problem texting her and had no concern over discretion.
Right.
Now that they've crossed that line, that's the first time we've heard him talking about a burner phone, we have to be discreet, so forth and
because
so on.
Because that's business. See, that he doesn't want that to affect his business. So it's like, if
because
I'm just sleeping with her...
Because they're now sleeping together.
Right.
But that we're talking about, initially we're talking about control. So now he just has to manage the sexual relationship away from the business so they don't cross lines.
Exactly.
So that's why he's like, let me get the play phone. So you're not texting me stuff on my work phone, so stuff doesn't come out if stuff goes awry, blah, 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 blah. That's all that is. But I don't think he's using the sex to control her.
Yeah.
What he's using
is her ambition. He knows that her leverage is give her access. What does he say? He says, freedom and exposure. That's what she's interested in. Right. She wants exposure. She's ambitious. She wants all that. He keeps feeding that. She'll do whatever he wants.
And she needed to sleep with him. From her perspective, she needed to sleep with him because she almost lost him when he was like, oh, I'm getting promoted to the White House correspondent. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, I don't need somebody that's flexible. I need someone that's available.
Exactly.
And he dumped her. So in her mind, she's like, I can't let this happen again. I'm going to have to give him some nookie, which is what she is doing now because she's realized, okay, I need to figure out what side of the line and where my bread is being buttered right now is with Frank. So what I need to do is make sure that I'm available for this guy. And she's positioned her career around being available for Frank right now.
I have to agree with Sophia. I think that, you know, this is a power play and sex is he's using it because if she's smart enough, she knows that he would drop her anytime.
I don't get it. How is it a power play for her to have sex with him? I'm missing that part.
Well,
they're saying it's a power play for him to have sex with her, which is what me and John are saying. He's not using. He already is in the power seat.
He's reaffirming it. And I mark my words. And again, I think I'm going to eat crow. It's going to backfire because I think he is used to dealing with a different generation of woman. Mm-hmm. So I really don't think that sex in any way, like just like we've said before, she was already basically like, oh, I bow down to the altar of Frank. So what was the need? If anything, he needed to have sex with her. Yes, I agree with you in terms of a little bit of the positioning, but she still, I think, is in a lot more control than we think.
Why does he need to have sex with her?
Right.
Well, he wants to, because, I mean, I'm trying to say how to say this, like, G-rated.
Say PG-rated.
Okay, I mean, he needed to get off, and he's obviously not getting off with his wife.
Right.
So, because there's no other reason. If it's not for a power play, mm-hmm. right, think about it. If Frank isn't sleeping with her to control her, that you guys are saying that he's not, then the only other reason to sleep with her is to sleep with her because you want to get your rocks off. Sorry. Is that still PG?
Well, I mean, we'll be all
right
it then. Is.
But right?
I just think, you know, he took pictures. He told her. Remember the pictures?
No, and can I say something?
Okay.
And this is exactly my point. I just wanted someone else to get there first.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking about a different generation. Now, let's preface. I still think that that is an extremely private, intimate thing. But look at the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. For 20-somethings, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
Taking pictures and putting naked pictures, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, mm-hmm. so forth and so on, isn't so much as a career killer as it was in years past.
Right.
And he goes, and she specifically said, oh, that my dad wouldn't approve of.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a dad?
Right.
Again, back to the fact that the parents haven't visited, the fact that she's sleeping with older men to begin with, again, pop analysts, daddy issues.
Right.
And again, even look at Tiger Woods and all these other people. So these women end up sleeping with these politicians and what ends up happening? Gloria Allred represents them. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And they get a book deal and they're on all these TV shows and do you see where I'm going with it?
Right,
it's
right.
not so the same. I feel like she's playing him.
Basically, you're saying that her being in the position, the generational thing, that he's using something against her where in her mind it's not something that It's like whatever. I get it. I get what you're saying. And that's a very, very good theory on it. Very well, maybe, because, I mean, look at reality TV. People have it doing, it's like, I can blow up if I have a sex tape.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're dealing with a totally different psyche of generation now.
So are you suggesting that she's hoping that he'll do something with those pictures so that she can get that exposure?
Basically, it's like giving him a knife that he thinks is a metal knife and it's really a rubber knife.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
That's basically what she's saying.
But like, I'm asking you,
I'm not going that far to think that she's actually setting him up to then leak the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10% of me that is, but I'm not going to go out on that far. But there is actually 10% of me that thinks that. 90% is the rubber knife.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, as that was happening, I was just going, really? Are you really? Okay, fine. You know, it's okay. And in my head, I was going, well, that's stupid. Why are you doing that? That's only going to come back to bite you. But then I went, but she probably doesn't really care if it does anyway, because she's more interested and she's so interested in exposure, she'd be happy for it to come out.
It's new age.
So, it just seemed like a hollow move to begin with. But I was still went, you don't think at some point down the line that's going to, like, when you have kids or anything? Have kids?
But who's going to look bad, Frank or her, when the pictures come out?
Well, you both will. Let's face it. I mean,
but who's going to get more hurt?
Well, maybe.
Well, Frank will leak the pictures. I don't think be connected to him.
Well, let's look at history. If we can. Like Anita Hill didn't even do anything wrong. Well, she got the worst end of the deal on that.
That's true.
Of course, that was 20 years ago, so who knows? That's different now.
At the end of the day...
Can I say something? That's my point. Because at the end of the day, we still know who Rachel Yucatel is, right? And she's still...
I do.
Right? But, and why? Because she was the first one to come out to have had an affair with Tiger Woods.
Right.
And she had more than 15 minutes of fame. Why? Because she got prayed around. She got a lawyer. Like, I think it's a new world. Mm-hmm. And I think that, more importantly, I don't think that people in their 20s are thinking about when they have kids.
They're not.
In the same way that the slug line owner is like, I may get bored of you in 8 minutes. Yeah, so that means they're thinking in 8 minute increments. And yeah, sorry, I'll keep going.
No. The next scandal will come along in 8 minutes anyway.
Right. It's very, very interesting. We're going to see how that sexual dynamic in their relationship, now that it's been introduced, plays out. So she very well may be playing him. It still be interesting to see how that goes.
And it's still yucky.
It is.
It's horrible because to think that it wouldn't eventually find its way out in the world is ridiculous.
I mean, regardless.
So she either has to not care about that or want that.
Right. Well, the other side of the thinking is this. As powerful as he is, even though we have a new matter of thinking, things haven't changed all that much in D.C., as far as how things are
so entrenched.
Right. So as easy as it is for him to control her, who's to say he doesn't have other little pawns out there? I mean, this is just an idea of how the media is being controlled and manipulated and blah, blah, blah. So there's another thinking that you kind of have to think, well, maybe he has enough power and manipulation to make blah, blah, blah happen from her, because she's still just a kid, basically, in the grand scheme of Frank and the establishment.
That's the thread of this entire show, is new age media versus old age media.
But who's controlling that media?
Right, but the difference is the only thing that can be controlled right now is old age media. That's why old age media has become entertainment. It's become Democrat and Republican. Like, right. People know. That's why people watch certain stations depending upon their political ideology. Technically, social media is still the Wild West. Why? Because it's person to person. You can't control me. You have no control over my phone, right? So, per what we know. Now I've got my own theory. I'm about to talk out of both sides of my mouth. But theoretically, no one's controlling Twitter beyond Twitter. So the only way that they can shut you down is after the tweet's gone out and you say something that's against their guidelines or their bylaws, and they potentially either delete your tweet or they shut down your account. Mm-hmm. But as we all know, once it goes out there into the universe, it's out there. And so by the time I press send, literally within a matter of seconds, it can be retweeted thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Right. And by the time now it goes to your phone and then to your phone to your phone, that can't be controlled.
Well,
and
Frank
has no idea of that.
I think Frank is way more media savvy than you're giving him credit for.
Yeah, I think he's playing like he doesn't get it.
I think he knows what's what and how to manipulate.
Well, he even says the slug line. He goes, "Who's what slug line?" He pretends to Zoe that he doesn't know what slug line is, but
right.
But later on, it's kind of revealed that you read it all the time, don't you? So I'm guessing he probably knows what slug line is.
Religiously.
So in just the same way, I can't. That's a letter.
But I think that's just because he needs to keep up with the news and the updates of what's going on. But it doesn't technically mean that he's, in the social media scene. He needs to know everything that everyone writes out there. But I don't think he uses Twitter. I don't think he uses Facebook or any other app, that's out there.
But I think he's aware of how powerful they are as instruments. Yeah. I just have the feeling that he knows the impact that they have on the masses.
And he'll use other people to do that. He doesn't necessarily have to do that himself. I mean, that's what we've seen from Frank, is he gets other people to do what he needs them to do rather than him being...
Well, I'll tell you one person who won't be getting used, and that's the Hammer, who got canned. The Hammer got canned, ladies and gentlemen, because he used the word C-U-N-T.
Well, yeah.
on Zoe, mm-hmm. and it went out. So he got called to the big house.
Well, that goes to the point there about it. Once it's out, it's out.
Right. So,
but he wasn't. He didn't care. He knew what he was saying, and it was going to go out anyway.
I think
to
he's
some
proud
degree.
Of being
I think,
old school.
Yeah.
I
think he finally had had enough.
Yeah. He was like, you know, this is how we do things, and this is how things should be done. And I don't like the new school. Blah 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 blah. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I would. I don't know. I mean, I would have liked to see them use him more.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
hopefully he'll
I didn't get
back.
The actor's name, but I've seen him in tons of TV and film over the years. Dude's a great actor. And I think he did a great job playing this role. But I wish they would use his character more as some kind of antagonist for Zoe.
Yeah.
Because
well, it
he
represents that
be,
old media.
Right. I mean, I think that would be great for the storyline.
Yeah.
As opposed to, because now Sorry, that she's yeah. gone from the Herald. It's kind of like,
how are you going to carry the storylines that she was talking about, that Sophia was talking about? How do you carry those two storylines?
Right. Well, the significance of him being gone from the Herald, to me, is not really as powerful if she was still there and she was able to accelerate in her career, because she's bounced. She's, like, gone now. She's somewhere else. So the importance of Hammer getting fired is like, so what? She's not even there.
Yeah,
and she's
a
central character.
Line, yeah, so.
She's a slug line now.
Yeah.
I wish she would have stayed at the Herald. And
I just like those storylines butting up against each other. I find that stuff fascinating, because I think that more than anything, like you were saying, Sophia, that for me is where this thing really sparks fly, because we're clashing like crazy with new media and old media and all that kind
of
stuff.
What was the owner of the name of the Herald's name?
Mrs. Tilden.
Ms. Tilden. I would have liked to see her stay at the Herald and then get into a power position under the wing and protection of Ms. Tilden, where she would actually have... That's what I would have liked to have seen. And that would give her some leverage with Frank's power.
And you could continually
fight. Yes, because she's a woman, and obviously she's an advocate for empowering females and whatever or whatnot. I think that would have been, because obviously Miss Tilden admired her.
Yeah.
And she's obviously a powerful
And wanted to use her as well, because she thought that was a way for the paper to make money.
I thought that would have been great.
It would have been very interesting.
For the storyline. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, that's just me. I don't like the fact that she bounced from the slug line. Mm-hmm. And maybe she'll come back.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. I'm actually gonna make a prediction off of your theory. No, because I think that, and this is me talking out of the other side of my mouth, I think that even though Zoe is new school, I think Zoe is the best of new school, i.e. it's the content of old school. So it's actually that at the end of the day, the only thing that survives is a great story.
Right.
Blurbs or blurps or whatever are fads, right? But content is still content. And it doesn't matter what medium it's on, it still will live forever and it will potentially influence people.
Right.
I think that despite Zoe's age, despite the fact of whether the reason she's sleeping with Frank, no matter any of that, I think she really still is a journalist at the core of who she is. So I am going to make a prediction that possibly... The slug, like, she needs to find some middle ground. She isn't really all the way slug line.
Right.
She's not all the way Herald. Maybe Mrs. Tilden
hopefully
will come
find
back in her life.
Because as good as she may be, we don't really know that, because everything she's been gotten, she's been fed, that we've seen anyway. So I don't really know how good of a journalist she is.
I still contend, though, that first story that she did, the way that she site-checked and the way that she did everything, that is the foundation. That was important. Like, that scene,
I don't
to me.
I don't discount that at all, but I'm waiting for her to actually do something where it's not handed to her.
I'm going to agree with John, because once she gets to Slugline, she's doubting herself, because she submits a story and then has a editor read it, and she's like, you don't need to email it to me, you know, if you think it's good enough, post it out. And she's like, no, I think I could do it better. So she needs that structure. She needs to be told, this is what you need to do, reviewed, because it just seems like she's doubting herself.
Well, and let's face it, she's still young,
and
every time she's ever submitted anything, it's got to go through review, which, and that's part of the editorial process, and there's a reason for that. Because then you can shape the stories and make them better if they're not good to begin with.
Well, what's one good thing is that her journalistic ability in writing was actually kind of validated at the end of the gala, when she's going home and it says clean water flushes out unions, and she wrote that that blurb about the gala and about Claire's nonprofit for Slugline. And Claire looks at it. She goes, "Oh, she can write.
She can write. Yeah, no, exactly.
So
that was our only moment where we've actually
right.
Okay.
So it's like she's actually got some talent.
But yeah, maybe she can.
At the same time, it's kind of like, would Frank pick somebody who didn't have talent to begin with?
Let's face it, he picked Russo.
No, he's using Russo.
But I know, but they're picking him.
He's using Russo as the ultimate pawn.
Yeah, exactly.
I completely disagree with you guys.
When they can control him, it's easier to use them.
Go ahead.
I completely disagree because, again, for Russo, I don't care if Russo is a pill-popping, coke-snorting, prostitute gigolo.
Hiring.
Right? thank you. He still got elected to Congress.
He did.
That I think we're minimizing that. That is a huge deal. So at some point, at least for his constituents, mm-hmm. he was the best guy for the job. That's why later on, the dude who comes to his office is so upset.
Right.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Because he literally is like, you're not this dude. Does it make sense? Like, you're not some political smuck. You really are the underpinnings when the reason that we're supposed to be into politics.
I'm not making
that
argument, though. I'm making the argument that he sucks as a congressman, or at least what we've seen of him. He may have been able to get elected. That's one thing. To govern is a totally different thing.
That's true.
In what we've seen as terms of how he governs or does his job, it's been horrible. Can you name me one time where he's actually done something worthwhile?
Yeah, he's been
fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
He's been kind of screwing up. I think that he's enjoying being a congressman as opposed to actually performing congressional duties.
And I agree with you on the fact that you've got to have, and they've even said that, Frank said it, he goes, look, if there's a guy that's come off the streets of Philly and been able to get to the Congress, he's got something in him. I agree with that. I agree with that entirely. It's not there. We haven't seen it yet. Hopefully we'll get to see that.
Well, maybe Frank sees something in him that he's like, look, I can either bring the best out of this guy or I'm going to drive this guy to the dirt. Yeah. It's one or the other. And I'm hoping to bring out the best of him because
He says it at the end of the episode. Yeah. After they do the whole razor bit.
And cut along the tracks. Don't go. That's a
rookie move.
Rookie move. I was like, wow.
I thought it was great that he's giving him the aspirin, get out in the bath, doing the whole thing, making him look. He's looking at him. Oh, he's so compassionate. He's so concerned. He's like, no. He's just making it easier for you to actually do what he wants you to do.
That was actually worse than the dog in the street on the first episode. Because this is a complete brain mind screw. He's like completely screwing with his mind and his psyche and everything. And he's got this guy.
Hot
think
water
about
will
it.
Open up your capillaries.
He's in the tub.
Aspirin will thin your blood.
Naked.
You're not in a more submissive. Or vulnerable position than sitting in a bathtub naked, popping an aspirin, placing the razor right on the edge of the tub with your superior telling you.
Exactly. Looking down on you.
Right.
But doesn't he do that with Zoe? He literally strips Zoe and Russo down to nothing and then stands over them to show his dominance.
Mm-hmm. It's all symbolic.
Well, and he's done it. Sophia mentioned that a few times. How he steps forward, gets in people's space, and does that whole thing. He loves that move. And I'm surprised somebody doesn't just go, "What? That's gonna work back off? That's gonna work?"
Right. Let's talk about this really quickly because we're pressed for time. But let's talk about this Marty Spinella situation.
No, it's great.
With Frank with the education bill. I think this is really. This is very important. I'm trying to see what the writers are getting at because they keep bringing up collective bargaining versus performance standards as far as this bill is concerned and the amendments that they're actually including with the bill. I'm trying to figure out if they're actually trying to make us understand what it's about, or is it just part of the story?
It's just part of the story, because if they really wanted us to do it, it would be more like,
explanatory. It would be more
like West Wing did. We'd have more of that opportunity to get into the nuts and bolts of that.
Right.
But it's really just backdrop. I don't really think they get into it as much.
Okay.
I'd kind of like them to because
I would too.
I want to see what's the fulcrum. Why can't we? And it's you can see people are entrenched in their position, but we didn't really get into the discussion about why.
Right. I mean, talking about collective bargaining and performance standards for teachers, I think these are things I think that lay people will understand. And they will get, if they go ahead and explain a little bit.
Yeah, I just wanted just a little bit more.
Just a little bit more about exactly.
Because I think it would have really just elevated the whole thing.
Yeah, just juice it up a little
bit. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
that would have been fun.
Now we see what's really on the table and how it affects teachers and yada, yada, yada. But this guy, Martin Spinella, the lobbyist for the teachers union, he's obviously a powerful guy because he's actually reached out to other union heads that he has relationships with to actually put the kibosh on Claire's
yeah.
Well, affair, the gala at,
stick together,
you know, so,
at the hotel. Yeah.
Exactly. So they're like, I can't have it. I have people, mm-hmm. You know, walk out, mm-hmm. you know, my staff. I have 300 guests here right now, blah, yeah. blah, blah. Stamper's like, oh, I'm calling Barney Hall. He's like, you got to get these people out. He said, well, let me call Barney Hall. And he's yeah. like, he gets on the phone. He said, here, I'm going to let you talk to him. The phone's ringing. It's he's like, police. Who's Barney Hall? He's like, police commissioner. Because he's like, what are you going to do? He said, yeah, I'll introduce him when he comes here. He's like, yeah. so gives him a, yep. a pat on the side. Yeah. You know, it's like, dude, we got you by the balls. Like, mm-hmm. you did everything you could to
that
try
a PG
and,
version, by the way.
Right. We tried, you guys have did everything, you know, just yeah. let it ride. Yep. You know, we're going to have this function here. I feel, part of me feels bad for Claire and part of me doesn't. I don't know whether to feel it's like she's, well, I got a big reaction from Sophia.
Okay, well,
I,
right.
You know, with this, with this whole situation, you know, I have mixed feelings about the whole thing between Remy and it getting all the way to this point with her only having like half a meal and mm-hmm. her needing whatever. She really, she shows some remorse about letting all her people go, which mm-hmm. I liked. And then she says, like, look, she expresses that she'd be able to hire back all her staff mm-hmm. with that $1.5 million, but she still rolled with her husband mm-hmm. as far as the Remy.
Yeah.
Why would you not feel bad for her that because of Frank's actions, her charity event that would be doing good is potentially going to get canceled?
Yeah, but she made the decision.
She did. She said, I'm making the decision for me. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Remy. I'll think about it. Yeah. So she took the power. She empowered herself, took the power within her own hands, and she made the choice.
She didn't go to war with Marty. Frank went to war with Marty.
Right, but she chose not to go with Remy. She could have avoided the whole thing. She wouldn't have mattered what Frank did. If she had taken the money from Remy.
And you still don't feel bad for her in any kind of way?
No.
Oh, interesting.
She's an ice queen, this one here.
See,
she's not Sally Homemaker, this one.
I think that's in some senses.
They're accomplices. They're like two peas in a pod. They're crime partners, these two. They're in it to
win
it.
But I think it's very important, though, two things. I think at the end of the day, mm-hmm. there was a problem created technically by Frank. Right? So regardless of whether or not she took the money from Remy.
Okay, well,
wait, hold on a second.
Regardless
of whether or not she took the money from Remy,
yeah.
Marty still would have tried to shut down her gala. Because her gala is a yearly event. It's going to go on regardless.
Right.
Right? So even if it wouldn't have, she still would have had Remy's $1 million. She still has a gala, which 1.5. Is a big, 1.5, mm-hmm, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's still a big symbolic representation of the fact that her charity is still here and they have it every year. Right? However, the fact of the matter is, because of Frank, the gala almost was canceled. Frank technically didn't fix it. It was Claire who was like, okay, I figured it out. We're going to have it on the steps. And this is what I need from you, number one. Number two, she then went and, you know, raised the money that she needed to raise. Mm-hmm. And Frank benefited from it because Frank was then able to leverage that for his own political good in terms of the striking teachers. And in the car ride home, that's why she specifically said, like, dude, like, We got to get this under control. Like, I can't, you know what I mean? Yeah. Granted, it's before that, but still, she said that on purpose because she's basically saying, if in fact we have a marriage of political convenience and or give and take, mm-hmm. if you're not giving me what I need, then I'm going to have to go somewhere else. The reason that I'm with you is because you always see things coming. Frank's been slipping. Do you know what I mean? Frank slipped in terms of Secretary of State. Frank slipped with this teachers union because he's sloppy. Like, he should have known better.
That's
especially
a strong
because
word. Sloppy is strong.
No, I'm going to say it. Especially because of Marty. Because Marty and him, like he even said, are friends. And friends make the worst enemies.
Right.
He keeps pushing people. And specifically, the only reason that I can think that they keep bringing up unions is for the historical connotation of unions. Unions are perceived to be, like, violent. Like,
right.
somewhat tied to other things, right?
Right.
I won't go completely
organized
there,
crime.
But thank you,
Jimmy
right?
Hoffa. Jimmy
so
Hoffa.
That, to me, is his role, right? And
right.
even, yeah, I'm going to stop there.
But I feel sorry for her because it's also
either.
Because of Frank that she's in the position that she's been
right.
too.
And
so.
That I totally disagree with, but I'm going to let Emma speak. I can tell Emma wants to say something.
I'm just going to make a prediction early on, but I think in the future episodes, we're going to see her making decisions very differently than she has done in the past. I think if mm-hmm. she had the opportunity to make another deal with Remy after the gala, mm-hmm. she's going to make a different choice.
Well, the reason why I don't feel sorry for her is that she made her bed. To feel sorry for her means that she's not responsible for her actions. She is. Whether they were good or bad, but right or wrong, she made that decision.
Her organization is benefiting him.
What?
Yeah. Her organization is benefiting Frank.
Okay. She made that decision. If she doesn't want it to benefit Frank, she can do another. She can make another decision.
Here's the thing about benefiting. Everything that they do together has been benefiting each other. That's what a married couple does. Mm-hmm. That's what a team does. And they business partners do. One, if one gets hurt or, you know, that hurts both of them, make a decision, it's going to hurt them both. If one does something that benefits themselves, it's going to benefit the other one. That's just kind of like, exactly, you made your bed, that's pretty much what it is. So Frank was not making a careless or a sloppy or any that kind of decision when he was coming, you know, he was telling her, like, look, don't take that money from Remy, because he's looking at the big picture. And she's looking at, I just let all these people go from my job, and I could hire these people back, and I could do this, and I could do that, and I could do this. When he already knows what it's like to be in bed with Glendon Hill and what would happen if he takes that 1.5, how that's going to affect the big picture of probably why it might have had something to do with him not getting Secretary of State to begin with.
Yeah, we don't know how bad that could
be. We don't know how deep that really goes with how what's going to be required of him. Even though he says, no, me and Frank are square, you know, this is just what we want for you. It's going to make what is the company called? Sandcorp look good. Blah, blah, blah. Frank is like, no, don't be naive. If you take that money, they're going to ask for blah, blah, blah. They're going to be on my head. Mm-hmm. And right now, this is not the time for that.
To be clear, when I said sloppy, yeah, I really only meant in terms of the education bill.
Oh, okay.
But I think that we are going to agree to disagree. But more importantly, I really want to hear what you guys watching and listening, how you guys feel, whether or not you feel like you should in somewhat, not necessarily feel sorry for Claire, but if Claire is collateral damage or if Claire is a soldier in the war of Frank.
Soldier.
Taking over the universe. Soldier, thank you so much. And the way that you can tell us how you think is by going on iTunes. So simply go to iTunes.com. In the upper right-hand corner, all you have to do is type in AfterBuzz TV House of Cards, and it sends you directly to our podcast. And once you get to the podcast, you can do so many different things. You can rate, comment, subscribe. And by subscribing, what that allows you to do is the minute our podcasts are available, it just goes right to whatever application or platform device. Thank you that you're on. And you can also comment. So you can comment on which way, if you kind of feel on this side of the table or on this side of the table. What I'm really saying is, are you basically, you know, is Claire a victim? Or is she a warrior, or is she a little bit of both?
Right. And you guys can always call in and let us know, 424-256-1729, what you guys think, and weigh in on your own feelings. I think we pretty much covered pretty much predictions that came out in the discussion of where we think things might go. And the only news I have is that you guys were kind of upset that we took a hiatus last week, but we're not going to do that. We're going to have two shows per week now, so we'll probably see you guys in a couple of hours for Chapter 6. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey. Where can we find you guys?
Emma, you can find me on Twitter at I am Emma K, and on Instagram at Emma_3xK.
You can find me on Twitter at Sophia Stanley.
You can find me right here.
You can find John right here. You can find me right here as well. And you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Club Thaddeus. You can also find me here Tuesday and Sunday for CBS's Vegas. Until next time, After Buzzers.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.